Was anybody paying attention to what I was saying? Because I don't think I was.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern podcast. When we last talked, and we know that's been a while, Bayern Munich had just been eliminated from the Champions League by Villarreal, and things were looking pretty grim. Since then, Bayern have won the Bundesliga title at home versus Dortmund, but have been pretty terrible ever since. They took a mid-season celebratory trip to Ibiza and labeled it as team bonding, signed Thomas Müller to a contract extension, have doubled down on their stance that Robert Lewandowski won't be sold this summer in spite of his desire to leave, finalized a deal apparently with Nusayr Mazraoui, and added Konrad Leimer and potentially even Sadio Mane to their list of transfer targets. Well, I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to talk about all of that today with my friends Garrett Kerber,
yo,
Tim Richards,
hello there,
and Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi.
Yeah, well, like I said in the intro, a whole lot to talk about today. And before we get into that, I don't want to take too much time, but I do want to just stop and address, I guess, the unplanned hiatus that we've had here at the Super Bayern podcast. We are we're well aware that our podcasts have been inconsistent at best over the last several months. We know that it's been a while since we last recorded. And I just want to kind of say two things about that. Number one, thank you to all of our listeners who stick with us and who listen. Anyway, it's really cool that you all are still showing up and you're still listening and still interacting with us in spite of our inconsistencies. And second, I try and make this big defense for us, but I just want to let you know we're well aware of our inconsistencies. But we say this time and time again, you know, part of our podcast is for people from four very different places. And so scheduling can be extremely difficult when you have that sort of situation. And just speaking personally, you know, me as a teacher and as a soccer coach as well, it can be difficult to find time to sit down and put these podcasts together. But we're aware of that. And we are trying to do our best to figure out a way where we can be a little bit more consistent. We can't guarantee that, you know, we're going to get our stuff together all of a sudden going forward. But we really, really do appreciate you guys listening whenever we do put these out. But with all that said, lots to talk about. And so let's just jump right in. And I think with all of this stuff that we have to talk about, I want to start with the good news first. And I think especially Sebastian is going to be really excited about this first topic. And so I have to come to him. It seems like we have finally signed a right back, not a player that can just play right back, an actual true right back. Nusayr Mazraoui kind of confirmed in an interview himself, and Julian Nagelsmann spoke on this as well. It looks like he's going to be joining Bayern Munich on a free transfer over the summer. So, Sebastian, just quickly, how excited are you for this move? How important do you think this will be for Bayern Munich? I guess, what are your overall thoughts on this deal?
If I look at this deal alone, I'm really, really happy and really excited about this. Of course, we're going to talk about some other not-so-great things that you already hinted at, and, occupies my mind a bit more than I would like, so I cannot be as happy about this as I would be otherwise, but yes, I think this is the right player and definitely a huge need that we needed to fill. And it's really, we needed to fill this for a couple of years now. We talked about this guy at least 2 years ago. I think even it was has mm-hmm. even been longer. It has been a long time coming, man. But it's great that we are finally filling this hole. And it's, yeah, just also quite nice that we're getting the guy I have been asking for years now. I think this is definitely the correct move. It doesn't even matter what our system is going to look like in the immediate future. I think he's going to be very helpful if we're playing with four at the back or if we're playing with three at the back plus two jokers. I think that's no problem at all. He's going to get his minutes. He's going to have a spot. Of course, if we're going to play with a four-man back line, he would probably immediately be the starter and play nearly every game. if it's three at the back, it's not quite the same, but still, he just fills a huge void there because we just didn't have a guy on his side of the defense who we could really rely on to both be safe on defense, to be quick enough on defense, to be agile enough on defense, but also bring enough power to our attack. So yeah, it really feels good to have this thing off your list that has mm-hmm. been there and has been so annoying for so many years by now. It's looking back, it's really baffling that this hadn't happened
right
in at least 2020 or something, because we could, to be honest, we could have made that same transfer, maybe not for free, of course, but it's not like the guy would have been expensive. It would have been probably kind of the same package, right? His salary would have been lower. We would have probably have had to pay like 12 million, 15 million maybe. Overall, it would have been right. The same thing. And we could have molded this guy the way we wanted him. He would have then been like 21, 22. I really don't know why we didn't do it back then, but okay, I'm just mm-hmm. going to be happy with what I get there. Because, yeah, it's coming out of this phase where it's just the thing we talked about. Sometimes we talked about this every 2 weeks, kind of. And it was really just so incredibly annoying. And it just feels good to finally mm-hmm. be able to cross it off our list. And let's hope that this is going to be the exception. We're not going to have other holes that are going to look like this, like Lewandowski is leaving, and then we're not going to have a striker for 3 years, man. I hope that's not what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah, yeah, I agree 100%. I think something that you pointed out, Mazraoui is a very versatile player. Whether it's a back four or a back three, he really fits in well. And like you said, if it's a back four, he's basically a shoe-in in the starting lineup. And so a great signing for Bayern, and hopefully now that this one's out of the way, we can keep on moving forward. But not really a signing. Another point of discussion that is on the good news side of things is that Thomas Müller has extended his contract. Now that still leaves Manuel Neuer and, of course, Serge Gnabry and Robert Lewandowski left to extend their contracts. But Tim, I feel like this one was more of a question of when it was going to happen as opposed to if it is going to happen. But what are your thoughts on the Thomas Müller extension, especially given that it's only just a 2-year extension to the contract that he already had? What kind of statement do you think this makes from the club?
I'm all for this. I think it's a sign that the team or the club is planning for the future. I think signing somebody like Thomas Müller is great because you have that sense of continuity. There is also this idea that if it is just for 2 years, then that kind of suggests in a year or so, or potentially in 2 years, we will see somebody like Jamal Musiala take more of a prominent role in the team, and then you begin that gradual phasing out of Müller. I think I've kind of said this elsewhere. Müller is the kind of player that could potentially retire at the end of this season or in 7 years from now, and both would be, but like neither would seem particularly surprising. He's a very unusual guy that has always managed to adapt and work with whatever players are around him. And I think having that sort of versatility and also the leadership as well, if you can lock down somebody that has that ability to, you know, organize the press, organize the forwards, and also be that outfield captain, much in the same way that I guess Bastian Schweinsteiger was the central leader of the team when Philipp Lahm was the captain. Granted, Lahm was also an outfielder as well. It is great to have that sort of presence locked in for a few more seasons. I do think it's good. I do think that Bayern need to start thinking about what life will be like after Thomas Müller. I know that's quite a daunting scenario. But I think as a whole, this is a good move. And I think it's good that it is kind of like a short-term thing. I think Bayern have that principle in place of if you're over 30, you get 1 year, you get 1 year, you get 1 year. So yeah, I think it is positive. And I think it's a really good sign of things to come in the future.
I feel like the sentence or the phrase "life without Thomas Muller," it's very daunting, but it's also, I guess, not totally true, because I think as long as Thomas Muller is alive, there won't really be a Bayern without him. And he's very much one of those guys that you look at and you're like, okay, he's pretty much always going to have a job at the club or have some sort of relationship. But yeah, in terms of life without Thomas Muller on the pitch, it can be a bit daunting, and we've talked about that before. But I think the best news is that we're not losing him anytime soon, and so we don't have to worry too much about that. But the final, I guess, really point of objectively good news is that Bayern did win their 10th consecutive Bundesliga title. They secured the win at home against Borussia Dortmund, and that's always a lot of fun. But Garrett, let's talk a little bit about the title win. This one does feel a little bit weird given everything else that is going around at the club, with Lewandowski and with the disappointing Champions League knockout and all that stuff. But strictly looking at the Bundesliga title, 10 straight, it's a big deal for Bayern Munich, and it seems like a pretty impressive accomplishment. But do you think that this is going to have any sort of implications on maybe the Bundesliga going forward, or maybe do you think this could end up being a bad thing for Bayern, the lack of competitiveness? And if not, how would you respond to people who do say this? Just what do you make of the 10th straight title?
I mean, first of all, it's like really exciting to get 10 in a row. It's really impressive, even, you know, in any league. I mean, even League One in France, you know, PSG hasn't won 10 in a row. And I think the next closest, like in terms of consecutive titles currently, I think Inter Milan might have a shot at it, or maybe Man City. I don't know. I meant to look that up and didn't, but either way, they're still like 7 or 8 years away from getting to 10 straight. And so it's impressive. It's something to be celebrated. Certainly, I think the question of does it affect the Bundesliga is an interesting one, because it seems like over the last few weeks that topic has been discussed a little bit more officially, I guess, than it has in the past. Like, it seems like more like club officials at different clubs are like talking about that and being asked about, you know, how they see Bayern's dominance. And I know the outgoing Dortmund president, I think, I don't remember, but some big wig for them, he had said that it was mostly a financial thing, and then there's just no way that other clubs can compete with them. And you know, yada yada yada. But I think it's interesting, given that there was the Super League talk, there was the you know, there's the upcoming changes to the Champions League format. There was talk about the Bundesliga adopting somewhat of a almost like an MLS style playoff system, and all that stuff. And if that is the case, if they do end up going to that because Bayern have won so many in a row and seem to be so much better than the rest of the Bundesliga, it's hard to see that as a good thing in some ways. But I also think you could take that and look and see, as Bayern have officially won the Bundesliga for all time, if that's the case, because they broke it. They made the Bundesliga change everything. Ultimately, we've talked about it several times. Other teams need to step up. Other teams need to compete. And I don't know. I can't, obviously, we can't obviously say how you do that. And none of us want to see Bayern lose one season, especially when you get to 10 in a row. You want to just keep extending that record. But But yeah, I would say that it's interesting given that Dortmund are currently, you know, selling off players like Haaland and Leipzig are maybe going to lose Nkunku for this summer, and there's just not any teams that you look at and say these guys really have a shot at challenging Bayern, and I think that does pose a problem because, I mean, as we see in the Robert Lewandowski saga, it seems to be affecting the way that players are being perceived when it comes to European awards and just how the Bundesliga in general is being perceived, and so that is a problem, and I don't know how you fix that. And but it cannot be that you make Bayern a less competitive club in Europe in order to make them make other clubs in Germany more competitive with them, and that's basically the bottom line of that. But it's exciting to win 10 in a row. Obviously, it's hard to kind of, I mean, it's kind of the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. At this point, and after a frustrating Champions League exit, it's hard to really appreciate it. But 10 in a row is pretty amazing, and we need to enjoy it because it may not be this way, this Bayern dominance forever, and even though it sure feels like it, so
right,
we got to enjoy it.
So Sebastian, I'm going to come to you because I'm interested in hearing what the general response has been in Germany to this, to Bayern winning 10. I know it's kind of, this conversation happens every year, but you know, 10's a big deal. It's a big number. So what's kind of been the response there? And then I guess to also transition us into the not so good news side of things, why don't you talk a little bit about how you think that or do you think that may have played into the really poor performances that we've seen from Bayern ever since they won the title, and also maybe even address the trip to Ibiza, if you would like.
All right. So I guess the response to this 10th championship in a row, it is, you can kind of tell that more and more people kind of get concerned about the state of the Bundesliga. And I guess this happens actually on all sides, like that's among Bayern fans, but that's also among the fans of the other clubs. There's kind of a bit of a cynicism there, where people just kind of accept that it's happening, but are kind of annoyed, and yeah, it's a bit of a problem. And I think, yeah, it's becoming more of a topic because this number 10 is so kind of symbolic. It just looks like it's more, right? It's just an important number there. Yeah, the German media has been discussing this more and more. What can we do to fix this? What can we do to make the Bundesliga more exciting? But yeah, I'm just missing, like, many ideas how to do that. I think, of course, there has been this idea of having playoffs. We talked about this, I think, a couple of months ago. I think we did that on the podcast.
Yeah, we did.
We definitely talked about it. Yeah, good to know. This is an idea, but nobody really liked it. Bayern fans didn't like it. Fans of the other clubs didn't like it. People generally interested in football didn't really like it. So this is kind of a non-starter. It seems like actually the people who are most optimistic about fixing this are Bayern fans, really. Because... And I kind of share that perspective, even, to be honest, because from where I'm standing, you kind of have to wonder why Dortmund is not doing better and kind of why Leipzig is not doing better. But Leipzig, of course, has only been there for a fewer years than Dortmund has, so they can kind of be forgiven here, I feel. I personally hope, and I think many Bayern fans hope, that Dortmund is taking some steps in the right direction now. I think their transfer window has already been looking pretty good, even losing Haaland. I think they're making steps in the right direction now, and this should kind of be possible to make the Bundesliga more interesting. And I really hope that happens. But yeah, I think the fans of the other clubs, they are really very negative about this. I think they have kind of given up. The only thing that you sometimes hear is, yeah, okay, maybe we need more investors, but this is only a minority, really. And of course, I don't think it has been proven that that is the right way, honestly. Because look at the clubs with the investors. It's not like they are beating Bayern. It's not like they are closing the gap right now. So I don't think that's the solution either. You just need a club with a certain fan base and with a certain amount of money doing good work for a decade or a bit more. And then you're going to close that gap, really. So and I think that can happen perfectly well. If there were clubs like Dortmund doing the work that clubs like Freiburg are doing, then this would be much more interesting, and Bayern would have to do their homework pretty quickly. We could not allow things like what we have been seeing right now to happen. And so I guess this is a good way to come to the other part of the question, I guess. I think it is a bit of a reason why we saw these bad games, why we saw this Ibiza thing, because yeah, it's just you don't really feel like they want to prove anyone anything or something like that. They just feel like, okay, we're FC Bayern, we're winning the league anyway, we lost the other games, and now we can kind of do whatever we want. So I think it kind of plays into that a bit. And yes, you mentioned this awful Ibiza situation. It's really frustrating. It is another thing. I really don't understand why we're handling things the way we're handling them right now. We will talk about the Lewandowski situation in a bit, I assume. I don't understand what's going on there. I don't understand why we're doing what we're doing. And the same is true for this Ibiza situation, right? I don't know how you can have like most of the squad going to Ibiza after looking terrible in a Bundesliga game like that, after losing in the Champions or dropping out of the Champions League to be more precise. I don't know how this can happen, but if it happens, I don't know how you can half-heartedly, in a business kind of way, try to sell that as team building without the coaches being involved, without important players being involved. Right. It's just a huge, huge mess. And yeah, it just fits in with some of the other things that are going on right now. And it's really a bit frustrating.
Yeah, I agree so heavily with that last point, especially about the team building thing. Thomas Müller didn't go. Manuel Neuer didn't go. Kingsley Coman. Several other guys didn't go on the trip. And so, you know, it's fine. Go on your trip. Do whatever you got to do. But number one, don't come back and just be horrendous after you were horrendous before the trip. Second, don't play a game before you go where it's very clear looking back that their mind wasn't really where it should have been. And then number three, just don't try and label it as team building when maybe a third or a quarter of the team didn't even go. The coach didn't even go. And so call it what it is. You went on a little celebratory vacation, and it was poorly timed at best, and move on. Don't try and make up something else about it. So yeah, I agree. That was definitely frustrating, as a lot of things have been.
And another thing on that whole thing, and it kind of ties in with the whole issue of the competitiveness of the Bundesliga. Like, the fact that Bayern Munich are doing that sort of thing and having this sort of dysfunction, like, this is not the best Bayern team we've seen. And there's been several years in this, or maybe not several, but at least a few years in this run of 10 straight that Bayern have clearly not been, you know, even all that good. And yet the Bundesliga, the other teams can't seem to catch up. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, teams losing to teams that they shouldn't be losing to. You know, there's no reason that Dortmund should, you know, be as far away as they are because they're losing to teams like Bochum and Bielefeld and like, you know, teams further down the tables. Because if they win those games, then, you know, it doesn't matter that Bayern beat them twice this year. They're still in the running to the end of the year. And that's where I think, you know, to your point, Sebastian, that most Bayern fans are pretty optimistic that this whole issue can get fixed in the Bundesliga. I think that's where we're kind of coming from, is that it's not like Bayern are, you know, going a whole year without any losses and they're just putting teams away 3-0 every match. We have so much dysfunction and yet it does feel ultimately like the Bundesliga is kind of taken for granted from Bayern Munich perspective. And to have that trip, that kind of just cemented that. I felt like that kind of encapsulated the whole issue that, you know, as we get into talking about the Robert Lewandowski stuff, it's like, what's the decision making process here, and how is it that it always seems like we're playing catch up to the narrative rather than, you know, dictating, you know, this is how, if it is a team building exercise, then, you know, maybe show up and play the games and don't look like you're on a beach already. So yeah, it's ugly. This whole last few months of the season have been really frustrating and ugly. And I don't know. We get into the Robert Lewandowski stuff. Maybe you want to transition to that.
Yeah. I think it is kind of a good point to transition, especially because with this Ibiza situation, yes, there's a lot of disappointment in the players for doing it. But I think Sebastian even mentioned this as well. There's a lot of pressure or a lot of, I guess, fingers being pointed at the board, at the coach, at the higher ups for, number one, letting this go on, and number two, just basically accepting it and almost even trying to defend it to the media. And so we're kind of seeing some more questionable decisions being made regarding Robert Lewandowski. And just, I guess, an hour or two ago, even Herbert Hainer came out again and said, we will not sell Robert Lewandowski this summer. He has a contract to 2023. He's going to see it out. And they are continuing to double down on their stance. Now, of course, this could just be a public thing, but it doesn't look to me like it is. They're doubling down on the stance that he won't be sold, while pretty much every report that comes out is saying, hey, Lewandowski wants out. He's already talked to Barcelona. He wants to be sold. And if we're not already in the middle of a pretty bad storm, there's definitely one brewing, in my opinion. But Tim, I guess I'll come to you because I know that you definitely have opinions on this. But we've talked about what we think should be done with this Lewandowski situation. We're all kind of on the same board with this. I guess how do the board or the people in charge reconcile their stance that he won't be sold with the fact that he wants out? Like, I guess try and help the listeners make sense of this situation, if you can.
Well, the situation as a whole is farcical. And I think it's a fantastic example of pretty much everything that's been going wrong with, like, contracts, with extensions and player transfers out over the past, I guess, like, few years or so. I can't put a pinpoint on exactly when everything started to go downhill. But yeah, it's really been quite poor. And this is, you know, I kind of go back and forth being like a fan of Lewandowski and then like, guess somebody, probably a detractor of his. So it's kind of hard for me to think without having like one biased viewpoint, because I have multiple biased viewpoints. With this is probably the worst person that it could happen with, because as was fairly evident last season in particular, and you know, to a lesser extent, but to still a good extent this season, Bayern are very reliant on Lewandowski putting in or putting up the numbers in terms of getting goals and helping those goals turn into wins. That there is this big issue that he has been wanting to leave for quite a while. You know, it's one thing if you know, if tomorrow there's a report comes out saying Manuel Neuer wants to go to Real Madrid or something like that. That would be the first time that this happens since he arrived at the club 10, 11 years ago. This would be the absolute first time that it's happened with him. Or you know, that list of people wanting to go elsewhere is quite short. Like, it's that there's not many people that have constantly said, you know, I'd quite like to go here. Like, I've got dreams of playing abroad. So it's very frustrating that this is such a regular occurrence now. And I realise that part of that isn't directly from Lewandowski, but rather his agent and media reports. But at the same time, the agent works for the player. You know, Zahavi doesn't want to just go to Madrid. Like, he is representing his player to go to Madrid or Barcelona or PSG or wherever it is. The way that Bayern can essentially like reconcile this or find some form of solution is that they have to essentially cut their losses. That might not be the right saying, actually, but they need to come to a conclusion where they say, okay, you can go, but this is the value. This is what we want from you. Because you can get into the financial side of things. Lewandowski signed a 4-year contract and it's worth 100 million euros. Okay, let's say in his final year of his contract, he is worth 25 million euros. That should be the price. Well, obviously, for somebody like Lewandowski, that premium should be a lot higher. But I do think Bayern need to look at this in a very pragmatic stance and say, this is what we want from you. Because if the player himself doesn't want to be there, and quite frankly, he's entitled to think that. If he wants to go somewhere else, if Müller wanted to go somewhere else, if Neuer wanted to go somewhere else, who are we to say no? I think it's in the interest of every player to, well, in the interest of most players to experience as many different clubs as they want to. I don't think you can really begrudge somebody for wanting to leave. I don't think that's, you know, I get why people would be disappointed that he wants to leave. You know, I'm disappointed that it's been such a regular occurrence. But then part of that comes down to almost a criticism of the club for not allowing this sooner. They've kept somebody at the club for a number of years that has wanted to leave. And now is probably the only time where they should be looking at letting that happen. If he wants to leave, Bayern need to say, okay, there's no point in keeping somebody here that doesn't want to be here. Because there is probably a striker out there that would dream of playing for Bayern or would absolutely love the prospect of being the guy to take over from Lewandowski. Like, I want to do that. And I'm not even a professional footballer. I imagine there's somebody in the arena, in like the footballing industry, that would want that challenge. I think they need to do that and have people that want to be at the club, which kind of like harkens back to Thomas Müller, the fact that he is, you know, the Bayern fan. It's really great to see that.
Excellent re-signing picture, by the way. That was brilliant.
Yeah, that not enough was, I don't think we mentioned that. I think that was probably like the coolest thing.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I said that earlier, I had the same exact bad clothes that he had in the old picture.
That's we so need funny. To, can we do like a staging of like Sebastian signing like a two-year extension on the podcast?
That would be awesome. Real quick to kind of wrap up the Lewandowski stuff so we can move on and maybe get something else in. Garrett, you mentioned something in the chat that I thought was worth bringing up. It was kind of like three main points as to why it does make sense to keep Lewandowski. And I just thought it's really good to hear that from you because you've probably been the most pro Lewandowski out of all of us, you know, historically. So just address those real quick, maybe.
Yeah, so I basically, it just doesn't make any sense from Bayern's perspective to take this approach of he's got a contract with us and he's gonna play for us until it runs out. Because I think what ends up happening is you end up coming off not as a tough negotiator, but almost inept. And I say that understanding that I don't know the first thing about negotiating contracts or building teams or whatever, but the basically you have a player who doesn't want to be at the club. He already has his eyes on a specific club, according to rumors. I guess we haven't heard him actually say it, but all signs point to him wanting to go to Barca. And what you're hoping for is that somehow, after basically, you can't call it holding him hostage when he's got a contract, but for lack of a better phrase, that's what I'm going to use. You're going to hold him hostage for a year and hope over the course of that year he decides, you know what, this is the best place for me, and he signs an extension. A really small chance that that happens, mind you. I guess Stockholm syndrome kicks into play or whatever, and then you have him for his 35 and 36 year old seasons, rather than selling him in the summer before this upcoming season, getting some a significant feedback for him, and then using that to kind of build the squad elsewhere. It just doesn't make any sense from Bayern's perspective to keep him. Now, I understand that, like you said, like, maybe this is some sort of, you know, they have to say publicly that they're planning to keep him and that he's not going anywhere because they're trying to maintain some sense of leverage. But ultimately, like, there's just no upside in my mind for what Bayern are trying to do here. If he doesn't want to be here, for example, you know, he's probably, if even a uncommitted Robert Lewandowski scores 20 goals in the Bundesliga, but what does that do to your locker room? I mean, we think we have locker room issues now. Probably, you know, final year of your contract, top striker who we rely on for, you know, 30 goals a season, just kind of going through the motions to see out his contract. There's just no upside for Bayern. So, you know, I've gone from, you know, as the most pro Lewandowski of the four of us, they have to sell him this summer. To me, it is a complete failure if they do not sell him this summer. And that's hard to say, because I really enjoy having him on Bayern's squad, but there's just, for the health of the club going forward, they have to sell him.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's really not a question. I mean, right now it should all, I guess, logic and sense, if we can believe, you know, all the reports, which I think there's too many of them for them to not be believed, all logic and sense dictates, okay, now you're just simply talking to Barcelona and you're saying, hey, you want him, come and get him, but this is what you're going to pay us, and making sure that you get a significant, right, as significant as possible of a fee.
It'd be different if it was like, we are willing to have him stay here until his contract runs out and we lose him on a free. Like, if you say it that way, then that sounds a little bit less, I'm trying to be kind and charitable here, but it sounds a lot less stupid to say, hey, you know, we're willing to let him run out his contract and lose him for free. We're willing to let that happen. So if you want to come get him, you need to pay what we're asking for him. That's a totally different thing than he's got a contract and he's going to play here, you know, through that contract. Well, that feels like it just feels tone deaf, I guess. And that's what bothers me the most about those comments.
If I may add very briefly, I also think, even with all of this aside, we all agree that it's not going to be a great idea to replace all those three people at the same time. Right. And now this is just what happened, and now kind of one of those guys is volunteering to be the first guy to replace. So let him be that first guy, man. Why not? Why would you want to keep him just to then be again in a situation where you have three leaders basically you need to replace? Why not just take it as it is now and turn it into an opportunity, turn it into an advantage?
And if you're gonna do the 1 year extension or, you know, keep kicking the can down the road, are we really gonna do this every single summer? Like, does anybody want to do that right. every summer? Like, I certainly don't. So just cut it off, just end it, and let's start talking about someone else wanting to leave.
Yeah, and you know, I'm a pretty big fan of Lewandowski. I'm not like somebody on this podcast who may have tweeted that they would have taken Mario Mandzukic over him any day of the week. Not that I'm going to be naming names. I appreciate his talent, but you know, in what was it, 2018, 2019, whenever it was that he really wanted to go to Real Madrid, I was in favor of selling him. I'm not a fan of holding players hostage, and I think that there's a kind of a danger right now with the approach the club has. That it doesn't really reflect the Bayern values of, you know, no player is bigger than a club. And I think right now they're kind of letting Lewandowski's agent make Lewandowski bigger than the club. And I think that doubling down and saying, hey, he's going to see his contract out to 2023, I can maybe understand where they're trying to come from with that, but it doesn't make a ton of sense to me in that regard. And so... that's, I guess, kind of my view. We'll save the discussions on Konrad Laimer and Sadio Mane and any other transfers for another time, because I'm sure we'll have plenty of time to talk about them. So, but that is all the time that we have for this episode. If you've enjoyed listening or if you're a regular fan of the podcast and you haven't done this already, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. We'd greatly appreciate that. If you want to get in touch with us, there are a few ways that you can do that. You can either email us at superbayernpod@gmail.com or follow us over on Twitter and keep up to date with us there. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts, we're probably going to be there. As always, thank you for listening. Thank you for your patience with us. Go out and tell all your friends about us, and we'll talk to you next time.